Welcome to the Marketing for Business podcast. This is your host, Scott Wilson. Hi, it's Scott here. Hey, welcome back to the Marketing for Business podcast. I've got a great episode for you today. I got a bit of a challenge from my team. Yesterday, I turned 50. So they said to me, Scott, what are 50 sales and marketing lessons that you've learned over the last 50 years? And look, I thought, okay, so this morning I got out my piece of paper and I started writing 50 sales and marketing lessons that I've learned that helped, you know, grow businesses, and I'm going to share them with you. And look, my purpose is to inspire people and to give people confidence to take action. And definitely in digital influence here, it's to influence, to educate, and inspire growth together. And we're really, really passionate about that. So I'm going to go through these 50 lessons, and I really want you to take them on board and maybe see which ones really resonate with you. They're in no particular order. I just put them down. I think I've got a few more than 50, but I also want to do a couple of shout outs. Shout out to John Shingleton, wrote me a really nice message via LinkedIn. I really appreciate you writing, John, and thanks for, you know, I love the input that you gave around when I talked about flipping the marketing switch. I really appreciate that. And also Mike Click from Triple O. I guess that flip your switch message really resonated with you. And also then Hamish Conway, who reached out with regards to my episode with Nick Burns and how to sell millions of dollars just by having a clean sheet of paper. So really appreciate everyone listening, and the feedback is always good to get. Right, so here's Scott's 50 at 50. Number one is keep it simple. You actually just need a one-page marketing plan. And sometimes I've seen marketing plans that are 30 pages long and nothing ever gets executed. But I really believe, you know, keep it simple. You know, you need to have some goals that you're looking to achieve. You need to have some 90-day projects, some 30-day must-dos, and what's your weekly actions. Now, that is as simple as you really need it to be to drive your business forward. So keep it simple. Number two is strategy first thinking. You know, I really believe and know in my soul that you must design the strategy to pick the tactics to produce the results you want. You would have heard me say this again and again and again, but you must come with strategy first thinking. Anytime I see marketing not working, it's because you've gone to the tactics first. So really get clear. Design the strategy to pick the tactics to produce the results you want. And that result can be different for every business, but you must design the strategy first. That would lead into number three, which is solution first thinking versus problem first thinking. A lot of businesses, when they start or create a product, they think of the solution that they have and the solution that they're going to bring to the market without understanding the problem that they solve first. So what happens for a lot of businesses, they have this product that no one really wants, or they have the product, but they haven't solved the problem and the message in the problem. A great conversation I was having today with Owen from Concentrate. You know, they worked with a company that had rowing software, and this rowing software, you know, could do a lot of things when it came to with erg rowing and stuff, but Owen and that worked out the problem they actually solved was motivation. The software company had never thought about that because they only thought of their solution, not the problem that they solved. Which leads me into really number four, which is the marketing foundation. You got to get clear on these three things. Who are your customers? What are the problems that you really, really solve? Just looking at that other example. And what's your value proposition? You know, who are your customers? Who are the people that can and want to buy your product and services? You know, what is that problem that you really, really solve for them? You know, maybe it is convenience. Maybe it is motivation. Maybe it is an experience. Maybe it is happiness. Whatever it is, you need to understand what it is you really solve. And then what is it that you have in the market that makes your value proposition more exciting and more enticing for people? Number five is right market, right message, right media. I learned this from Dan Kennedy early on in my marketing career. You must have the right market. You must have the right message, and you must use the right media. Not all media is created equal these days, and media today is a lot really disjointed. There's so many platforms that you can advertise on and get in front of people. But unless you have those three things going for you, once again, you're going to miss out. When it comes to advertising, number six, I think you need to keep it real simple. who you are, where you are, what you have to offer, and why people should buy from you. You know, a lot of people are here, you know, I mean, they're advertising, you know, they're not explaining who they are, they're not explaining where they are, they're not explaining what they have to offer, and this is really, really key. And then why, explaining why. Why should people buy from you? What's in it for them? The WWIFM radio station, what's in it for me? It gets missed by so many people when they're creating their advertising. You've got to think of your customer. You've got to think about, how do I get them off the couch? How do I stop them scrolling on their phones and want to engage with you? Okay. And that comes down to a lot of times to what you have to offer and understanding why people should buy. Number seven is you want to create a before, during, and after experience. I remember learning this probably 2006, and I remember being in a conference in Sydney, Australia, and a gentleman started talking about the before, the during, and the after experience. And it just, the light bulb went off in my head, you know. What do you got to think about? What are your customers like before they meet you? You know, what are your customers like during, and what are your customers like after? And how can you create an experience for each one of those areas so people want to do business with you? Because trust me, this is one of the things, if you get clear on this, you can outmarket your competitors. You can do those little things that move you and move your business into another category, which is always what you want to be doing. Number eight is you want to build a predictable marketing system. I was talking to a couple of people about this last week, you know, building a predictable marketing system. So you run this ad, you get these leads. You run this ad, you get these leads. You know, you have a system that you can rely on to generate you business. So many businesses don't have this. You need to build a predictable marketing system. There's a couple of key areas that you'd want to make sure that you're doing. Your digital, it needs to be really, really clear on what you're doing in the digital space. What are you doing in the advertising space? What are you doing in the offline space? Build a predictable system so that you can then generate more business in your business. Number nine, I love this. Come for the content, but they stay for the community. Look, I really believe in business. It is about creating a community, and it doesn't matter what business you're in. You need to create a community. You need to do that either through, really caring about the customer and going those extra steps for them. Maybe that's the before, the during, and after experience. But people will stay for the community and adding value to them in that community. For me, that's why I run events. That's why I run Lunch and Learns. That's why I run the After Fives. There's a whole bunch of things that we do because we know people will come for the content, but they want to stay for the community, introducing people to other people, etc. Right, number 10 is influencer education or influencer insights. This is about really giving value in advance before anyone ever gives you any money. I'm a massive believer in this. Brett McFaul taught me this. He sat me down in 2006 and said, Scott, you got to give what you know away for free. And you've got to do it in such a way that you add value to people. Now, over the years, I've definitely seen, this work and giving information away really positions you as an expert, and as a thought leader. The crazy part is it's still really valuable today. I talk to business all the time. Hey, how about we step into giving some value in advance first? Number 11 is insights through information. I think this ties in nicely. Look, I think more people today, insights. They want insights from the expert. They want insights, not just information, because information I can kind of get now from ChatGPT or going to Google or wherever it is, you know, where I can't get the insights from that. I can't get your experience, how you've done it differently, what you've done, your insights into something, you know, and I think that's really, really important now. As we move into the technology-based world that we're going and living in, people are going to crave for your insights. So be willing to share them. Be willing to share those little things in your business that you do that positions you as an expert. Right, number 12 is answer the dumb questions. Look, get on your video and stand in front of a camera and start answering some of those dumb questions. Look, the reality is there's no dumb questions. I have a phrase now that I'm starting to use is ask the greedy questions. If I want to know something, I'm going to go and ask someone them. Right, I'm going to be greedy and get the answers that I want. But I think as a business, you get questions, you get frequently asked questions all the time. So now's the time to get in front of a camera and start answering those dumb questions and start putting them in FAQs, start putting them in content that you've got online, start sharing your answers to those questions. Because here's the thing, it's one of the things that people, if you think it's a dumb question, chances are other people are thinking of it as well, you know, so it's not a dumb question. So you need to answer those questions. Because here's the thing, number 13, this is one of my core ones, I believe. To grow your mind share, to grow your market share, you must grow the mind share. Okay. And that is so, so important. If you want to grow your market share, you have to grow the mind share of people that can and want to do business with you. And you would have heard me say the formula, consistency, message plus frequency, reach to create relevancy all the time. That's why it's one of my lessons in here. But I want you to get really clear that if you want to grow your market share, you must grow the mind share, and you've got to be intentional with it, okay? You've got to be intentional. And a lot of these lessons that I'm sharing with you, if you go back, it all would lead back into growing your market share versus by growing your mind share. It's about being intentional with a number of these lessons, which leads into number 14, get known by the success of your clients. You know, if you want to grow a market share and to grow the mind share to do that, you'd want to be get known by the success of your clients. That's one of your key pillars that you'd want to go to, that you have successful clients, that you are willing to take that next level of care to grow your business by helping other people. It's such important one. So, you know, get known by the success of your clients. So I was telling a person today, you only need one, but it helps if you've got 95 five-star Google reviews as well. But you only need to start with one. So what are you got to do to get that one? You know, maybe you have to go and do some work for free. Maybe you have to go the extra mile. Maybe you need to raise your standards so that your standard's higher than it was before. So you start attracting other people to your business because you've got known by the success of your clients. Number 15 is a testimonial formula. I love this testimonial formula. It's something you can use. The first time I heard it, I was like, I'm using that. Used it, I don't know how many times now, but it goes like this. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Okay. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. You know, once upon a time, I used another digital marketing agency and I wasn't really sure of the results they were getting for us. After a few years of procrastinating, we used Digital Influence and this team, and Scott and his team. And in the last 3 or 4 months, he's really transformed, or the team has actually really transformed my marketing. I butchered the words, but it's pretty much a testimonial we've got recently from Mike Blackburn from CBS. And it is in that formula, right? And he was frustrated with the company he was using, changed it up, started using us, and all of a sudden we've turned it around and he's getting more business. And that is that formula. Number 16 is own your own messages. And here's what I mean by that. If you want to get known in the marketplace for something, you've got to own your key messages, okay? So for us, I talk a lot about consistency, message plus frequency of reach. I talk a lot about to grow market share, you must grow mind share first, right? They're our key messages. I want to get known in the market for those. So what is it that you want to get known in the market for? And you must own those. You must be able to look down the camera and go, you know, our job is to influence, to educate, and inspire growth together. You know, you must be able to roll those messages and really believe them and own them in the marketplace, which leads me to 17. It's one of my favorites. It's consistency message. So plus frequency of reach to create relevancy, because when you own your key messages, that's not enough. You must be consistent with them. You must go to the marketplace daily to have consistency of message so you can grow that frequency of reach through advertising so that you can become relevant. The more relevant you are to the people that can and want to buy your products, they will buy your products. That is a marketing formula that you can take to the bank over time. Too many people run the 90-day nightmare and wonder why they're not succeeding in their marketing. You must have consistency, you must have frequency, and you must create that relevancy. Number 18, people buy what they need. People buy what they want, not what they need. Learned this tough when I was selling plastic toothpicks. If you haven't watched that episode, you should. But people buy what they want to buy, you know, and that was the lesson for me. People don't need a plastic toothpick, Sonny. They want to buy beer. They don't want to buy a plastic toothpick because they've already got a wooden one here. So get really clear. Make sure that you're just not trying to push your need when people don't really want it, or find what they want and develop that so you become even more of a desirable product. Right, number 19, I call this the eighth wonder of the world. I learned this from Peter Godfrey and Brett McFall pretty much at the same time, and that is you must test and measure your marketing. I say this a lot. I do hear a lot from people, and I saw it. I heard it 2 weeks ago. I don't know what part of my marketing is working. You know, 50% of my marketing is working. I'm just not sure. Well, I kind of call BS on that, because John Wanamaker made that up, and well, he didn't make it up. He said it, but it was in 1883. It's not a thing anymore when it comes to the digital space. But you must test and measure. It's the eighth wonder of the world. The data you can get today on what your potential customers are doing, or what your customer is doing, or what your traffic's doing on your website or on your ads, etc., is outstanding. And you need to know that information so you can market your business better. Number 20 is a lesson I learned as a young fella going for a sales job. And I came across apparently to the guy that I didn't really want the job. And if I look back and have a honest reflection with myself at the time, I didn't really want that job. The cool thing is he gave me an opportunity 2 weeks later and he told me that I came across that I didn't want it. Lucky for me, the guy that they employed in front of me didn't like the job. So I got an opportunity to then go in at Bond & Bond and work at Bond & Bond and become one of the top 1, 2, and 3 salespeople consistently in New Zealand for Bond & Bond, which is now kind of like Noel Leeming's. But for me, it made me realize if you want something, you must go and get it. And that's my lesson here for you. You know, this is number 20. If you want something, go and get it. If you've got a job opportunity that people are presenting in front of you, you know, you have an opportunity, make sure if you want it, make sure you let people know that you really, really want it. Because I tell you what, there's plenty of people out there that'll turn up and not. So you got to make sure you want it. Number 21 is you must sell the big idea, the big concept. Look, I got smacked in the face with this, but with Brett McFall, I was writing some copy for a property seminar, and he just come back to me and said, "Man, this is boring as batshit. Where's your big angle? Where's your big concept?" And it was real. I was lucky at the time because I'd paid for mentoring. And so he sent me back, "Hey, this is boring as batshit." But then he sat me down over a call and he explained why. And he explained to me that you've got to have a big concept. The coolest thing back then, I still am quite a fast learner. So I got it like that. And till this day, I really do. That's where I can go. I can come up with big concepts because he gave me a framework for it. But that sales copy, which I actually flipped it on its head and wrote a campaign called Beat the Banks. And it was a really highly successful property seminar. So much so, one of the guys that were doing it for, he got rung by his bank saying, "Hey, what are you doing running a seminar called Beat the Banks? You know, you're a client of ours." So it was really, really interesting. But the lesson there is the big idea. You've got to have the big idea. Number 22. One of my favorite sayings I learned from a guy called Mal Emery, a really good Aussie marketer, successful in putting big events together, but really, I guess, a little lot from watching him, but also copywriting, etc. And Mal used to say, "Small hinges swing big doors." I'll say that one again. "Small hinges swing big doors." And it's always the little things he would say that will give you the biggest upside when it comes to marketing your business. And it really is, you know, a lot of times people are trying to hit a home run with their marketing versus trying to just get incremental little gains over time that will actually allow you to win. So this is a big lesson. I've seen this time and time again when it comes to people, you know, when you see things that people want to go viral and all this sort of stuff. And that's great because you can, right? But also, what about all those little things that you just do to build up, have that consistency of message? So that's where the small hinges come in. Number 23 is always be marketing, branding, and advertising. The old MBA, you've got to always be marketing, branding, and advertising. Look, I heard this the other day and I really liked it. You know, we're in show business. So you've got to put your business on show. And to do that, you got to do marketing, you got to do branding, and you got to do advertising, right? Like, you can't sell a secret here. You've got to be in the game of promoting your business. And I know as Kiwis, we get a wee bit offended by that, right? Like, I don't really want to tell people how good I am. You know, we have this all the time. People come just, "Oh, I don't really want to put myself out there too much." Look, you've got to be. You've always got to be marketing. You've always got to be branding, and you've always got to be advertising, because at the end of the day, it's not just business. It's show business. All right. 24, you got to talk to 10 people. Look, I talked about this in the podcast with Sarah Anderson, and she was really, really good at it. She actually was speaking to people, learning from people, developing her products along the way once from talking to people, right? I've seen so many people just not talk to people. They build, they create something, and they've got it out there without really getting some advice or getting some feedback from real people that could buy your product and services, right? So I would say, you know, you need to go out and talk to at least 10 people. You know, I had a conversation with Owen today, and you say, hey, even 20 people, like, get in the marketplace and talk to them. Take an order form is one of the other lessons I would learn inside that. When you're talking to 10 people, is you'd want to have an order form, you know, because if they like it, they can buy it. Which leads into 25 is, you know, you need to build that minimum viable product. And I'd add to that, into that, is have an order form for that product. You know, you don't actually have to get everything right to go to the marketplace. A lot of times, you know, I think during COVID, we did a marketing course. We had a product that we were using to sell and help people with messenger marketing. And we knew, hey, we had something there. So we did a webinar, showcase what we're doing, and then we didn't have the product designed, but we said, hey, look, we'll build this with you. We've already done it for customers, but we've never taught anyone to do it, right? So if you want to learn it, you're at home, we're at home, let's do a 6-week course together, and we'll teach you actually how to do this and how we're doing it. So we built a minimum viable product and was really successful. Number 26, here's my simple marketing formula. I learned this from Frank Kern. All you need to do is stand on camera and say, here's what I've got, here's what I'll do for you, and here's what I want you to do next. Here's what I've got, your product and basically service. Here's what I'll do for you, the benefits wrapped in around that and why they should get it. Here's what I want you to do next. Hey, click online or call me, email me, whatever you want to do. That's the call to action. Real, real simple, simple marketing formula you can use and you can take to the bank and run your next video campaign and ad campaign. 27. Look, the biggest problem, I think, when it comes to creating content is people don't know what to say, how to say it, and when to say it, and how to get people engaged. And I learned over the years about selling on social. I've learned how to engage people on selling on social. People really, they don't actually, to some degree, want to be sold on social. They want to be invited into the business of show business, right? So the biggest problem for those people is to have an actual formula for it. And which leads into 28 is people buy from people they know, like, and trust, right? So if you start to think about that and you're selling on social media, you've got to get known, right? You've got to get people to like you, and you've got people to trust you. Which leads into 29, which I would say is character, chemistry, and credibility. Look, to get known, you want to be getting known by the character that you are, right? That's why we created the hashtag Celebrate Your Victories. Look, the hashtag was already created, but we developed it so that our character is that we want to get known, that we like success, we like promoting success. And then the light came from creating chemistry. How do you create chemistry with people? You know, so I always use this experience that I had with going and talking to a real estate agent. You know, I said to her, you know, when do you get listings? What happens when you get listings? She goes, oh, when there's a dog in the room, I'll go up to and pat the dog, and the owner see me petting the dog, and I just love dogs and all that sort of stuff. And she goes, oh, generally we'll win a listing if there's a dog there. I was like, cool. So that's a like, that's chemistry. People like you because you like their dog, and you've just created that chemistry together. So I said, start using your dog in the marketing, you know, and she did, and now it works for her. Because, and here's the thing with trust is about demonstrating credibility, you know, and getting known by the success of your clients, but also maybe talking, giving some insights, sharing information. Demonstrating credibility is really, really important. So number 30 leads me to character, and I think this is really, it's really key for you to understand what is the character that you want to get known by. And for me personally, I want to get known as someone who's useful and helpful. If this content is useful and helpful to you, I've done my job, right? I want to be useful and helpful. I want to own that mind share of yours that Scott is useful and helpful. And because I know in the world that is really valuable. Okay. So what is the character that you want to get known by? Number 31 is conversations create conversions. The first time I heard this, my light went off in my head. Have more conversations, you'll create more conversions, sales, etc. Now, it sounds simple, but when you do it in an online world, that's not as simple as it sounds, right? But we were using a piece of software called ManyChat, still do. We were using it to create conversions, create conversations. Those conversations then it led into conversions. And a light bulb went off in my head, you know, using technology and leveraging technology to create those conversations that you can then develop into a sales environment so you can create conversions. And that would lead me into 32, which is invite conversations, you know, invite conversations in, you know, don't be afraid to be curious and pick up the phone and talk to people, invite conversations. The more conversations you have, the more sales you make. You know, if you're not making enough money in your business and you need more money from a sales and marketing perspective, you don't actually need the more money. You need more people. You need more people talking about your product and services. You need to have more conversations inside your business. Number 33 is LinkedIn. It's the ultimate warm call. I really see it as the platform that most businesses should be using, either from a personal brand or from a B2B play. You need to be on LinkedIn and finding people that can and want to do business with you. And also you creating joint venture relationships. I always like asking the question, who has your clients before you and after you to people? And then you could go on LinkedIn to do that. And I was talking with a gentleman the other day, he wants to get in front of schools. And I said, right, I just shot a video and I showed him how you can get in front of the decision makers at schools. And in fact, I showed him on the video how you get in front of the principal for one of the biggest schools in New Zealand, right? And for me, like that took me all of 5 minutes. Bit of research, go on LinkedIn, find the person. But here's the thing, you don't just then go and contact that person. You warm that person up. You warm that person up to knowing who you are. Okay, so you go and start looking at some of the posts they're putting in or some of the comments they've been making or some of the things that they've been looking at, some of the groups they're in, etc. And you start joining that. You start the ultimate warm call, okay? You don't want to go in cold. You want to go in warm. Also, who knows that person? You can see who that person knows who might be a mutual connection, and you can get a warm introduction to that person. There's no need to do cold calling today, really. You know, I see businesses dialing for dollars all the time, but really, the longevity of having a good customer, it's about relationships. Look, the depth of relationships versus the width of relationships is the key to growing a really, really strong business. Whew. 35. Love this one. Be first. Be first mobile first. Be first video first. Be first Google first. Okay. Really look at where you can be first in those areas. Okay. Make sure if you're running a campaign that you focus on the mobile experience first. Everyone's on their mobile phone. The data is completely flipped as far as desktop versus mobile. You want to create a campaign with mobile first thinking. Same with video. People are watching videos. Create video first thinking. Okay. And then Google first. I really still believe, I don't know, with ChatGPT and AI and stuff, look, Google's still a player in this market, especially for local businesses and such, which leads me into 36, which is Google Business. Google Business listings. You must have one. There's some real key things around proximity, relevancy, and prominence that you can use to grow your business inside the Google Business listing. And look, if you want help with that, this is one of the things my team is really good at, is Google Business. So you reach out to me, text me on my mobile, 021-891-934, and we can help you grow your Google Business listing, get it into the top three, what we call the map pack, so you can really grow your business. Google Business is a sleeper that people aren't using that you can use to really grow your business. Number 37 is AI. You can't have a conversation with 30 lessons without AI these days. But here's the thing. I really believe it's a productivity tool. And I talk to more and more people that are using it. Productivity is the one that comes up. Look, a lot of this AI software that you're seeing at the moment is just technology. It's just technology rewrapped with a domain name, .ai. It was actually just really good technology before. But now, because it's on trend, they're putting the word AI in in there. But here's the thing. My challenge for you is to get an hour back. Now, how can you save 1 hour? Because I think that's the most important thing to leverage with technology is where can you make some savings so that you can then reinvest that savings. And I always say if you can get an hour back, that's an hour you could do in training. That's an hour you could spend sharpening your sword as a better person, as a better marketer, as a better human being. Right, number 38 is world-class training, world-class outcomes. For me, This is dear to my heart. I love training my people. I think I learned it from Richard Branson. He said, I'd rather have people trained than not have trained, right? He did it. There's a quote around that. And I took that to heart, you know. So invest in training, world-class training to get world-class outcomes. I really believe there's no point having people that aren't doing the world-class training because your clients aren't going to get world-class outcomes. So pay more and invest in your people. Number 39, I should have left this to last, but it's in here. It's the hashtag celebrate your victories. Look, for me personally, business is tough and it's hard sometimes, right? And I know it is for a lot of people. Business is not a straight line of success. It's up and down. It's all around. And all of a sudden, one day you start making a success of it, right? So I believe along the way, you must celebrate your victories. Big or small, you shouldn't be afraid to actually stand up and say, hey, I did a good job. And I think as business owners, and I'm talking to the business owners here, you need to stand up and help each other and celebrate those victories because they're so important to the psychology of us as business owners as well. So number 39, celebrate your victories. Number 40, the sales prevention department, not one of my, what would I say, not one of the departments I like in business, but they're out there. And here's the thing, you need to go and shop yourself. You do need to shop yourself. How are you turning up and performing in the world? How does your website show up? How does it show up on mobile? How does it show up on desktop? You know, can you actually buy stuff from you? You'd be surprised how many times that we look at stuff where you have the sales prevention department going on. So sometimes you just have to be your own customer and be willing enough to get a few, I guess, doses of reality that maybe there's some things that you need to work on. Because here's the thing, you fix that and you start making more sales. Number 41 is follow up with value. This is something that I learned and it's a really key skill. And here's the thing. I used to follow up and go, oh, I'm just checking in or just following up to see if you have any questions. And then I learned, well, why don't you follow up with value? Why don't you follow up with, hey, by the way, I just thought I'd share two strategies that we've just used with this client to actually get them this result. And by the way, these strategies are the same sort of strategies that we want to help you with, right? Oh, by the way, there's a testimonial that we've got from this gentleman here. And by the way, these are the two strategies that we use to actually help them. And by the way, these are the strategies that we'd love to use with you. You know, so always following up to give them value, okay? Because giving them value gives them confidence, right? And that's what you want to move them along. You want to move them along the confidence ladder when it comes to making a decision. Because here's the thing, you want people to put their hand up, not their hand out to some degree, right? Because sometimes, you know, dollar for dollars, hand out, you don't get a really that nicer client. Yeah, you might get a sale, but have you actually got them for a long, long period? Probably not. So, you know, follow up the value. Number 42, pretty simple, but leverage technology. If you're not leveraging technology today, I want you to stop this video, write how and who. How can I leverage technology and who can help me leverage technology? You must leverage technology today. Like there's so many ways you can streamline your business. Yeah, even from the point we were talking today where you can get software that can, you know, look at who's on your website, you know, and if you've given them a proposal and they come back to your website and all that, they're checking you out. There's so many things that you can leverage to actually help you generate more revenue and save more time. So if you're not leveraging technology, okay, who and how? Easy one. Number 43 is be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And I think this is a mindset that I'm all about, right? So you can sit on two sides of the fence. You can just be part of the problem and you can be part of that, or you can be part of the solution. Now, it sounds real simple, but I'll always go for being part of the solution. I'll always go for finding how I can help. And it's a mindset that I think the more people that develop that mindset, the more people will help in this world. And I think that's a big part of it. Number 44 is stay in the queue? I got asked a great question, and I just remember it, like, Scott, how would you get to the front of the buffet queue? And I thought it was a bit of a dumb question at the time, but then after I learned more about it, I knew the person was a smart, smart person. And look, to get to the front of the buffet queue, you've got to stay in line. You know, sometimes you see that really long queue at the start of the buffet, and you think, oh, nah, I won't go in. And then all of a sudden, you go somewhere else, and we've all done this, right? We've all jumped the queue, you know, tried to go the other way home because you saw there was a massive queue of traffic, and then you go down another street and it's a dead end, or you go down another street and there's roadworks on that street too, right? So staying in the queue sometimes is really, really important. And it's really important when it comes to marketing. You just have to stay on the queue. You have to do the reps to get known. You know, you've got to get known, consistency of message. You've got to have that frequency of reach, right? So staying in the queue is so important. And once I learned about, hey, just stay in the queue, now I just stay in the queue. You know, for me personally, I love getting feedback, but if no one gave me feedback, I'd still be doing what I'm doing, right? I've just got to the point now that I'm not attached to you know, the direct outcome as far as the feedback that I need. I know that I'm adding value to the world, and I love getting feedback. You know, I love it. I love it. I love it. But at the same time, I'm not so attached to it. It stops me from doing it, okay? And that's a big, big part of it. Right, number 45 is we're heading down the home straight is quality versus quantity. I see, you know, sometimes you have, when you're creating content specifically, you have to create quality content. You have to create quantity content. There's some people, though, only need to see one piece of content. They're the quality people. There's no difference between quality and quantity people, by the way, when it comes to making a decision. Quality people may just need to see one thing. Quantity people need to see 10 things, 20 things. Your job is to create all of those pieces of content. Sadly, most people don't, so they never get known by the quality or the quantity, right? So your job is to stay in the queue, create more quality content, more quantity content, and just keep doing it. Number 46, I love this question, is what's your role on social media? I think it's a question you as a business owner need to ask. What is your role on social media? I know for me, when creating content, when I put out this podcast, is I want to inspire people. I want to give people confidence, you know, so I want to give them some inspiration and some confidence through my actions that they can do it too, right? I'm a massive believer in that. So, you know, when you're starting to produce content, maybe you can ask yourself, hey, what's my role here? Am I looking to give people hope? Am I looking to give people inspiration? Am I looking to be useful, helpful? What's your role when it comes to social media? Right, number 47, this is dear to my heart. You're either a producer or a consumer. I would suggest if you're a business owner, you need to be on the producing side when it comes to content. Look, this is all media today. This is not just business, it's show business, right? It's all about creating content. If you sit on the consumer side too much, you will lose to your competitors competitors that sit on the producer side. By the way, I know this is the hard part for business owners. So once again, if you want help with this, I got a team of experts behind me that can help you pull this all together and become a producer. So once again, just text me 021-891-934 and we can have a conversation about how we can get you producing more content and actually how, with a very little time, we can take care of it and do it all for you. Right. Number 48 has said, once again, it's being useful and helpful. They own their character space. That is so, 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 so important. And as a business owner, you will win more business because you are useful and helpful. Number 49, active listening. This is one of my favorites. Active listening, being willing to listen to understand versus listening to reply is a skill in the world. If you just take it and run with it, you will outmarket your competitors because you'll go and start reading the Google reviews. You'll go and start listening to what your competitors are saying or what people are saying about your competitors. Active listening is the key. Go and listen to understand and your business will grow. It's such a skill. It's underused by so many people. So please go and do that. Right. I've got three more. Okay. 50 though is success leaves clues. Success leaves clues. I don't know how many times I've said that. I've actually put presentations on about it. Success leaves clues. You know, people have already done what you want to do, right? So if there's something that you want to do and you want to get better at it, go and find someone who's already doing it. Okay. Go and find someone who's already doing it and model them, copy them. You know, if you have to pay money to learn from them, right? Success leaves clues. There's no mistake now that if some people are successful, it's because they've modeled other people. They've gone and done what the other people were doing. So success leaves clues. Go and find a mentor. Find someone that can help you grow your business if needed. Find a company that's really good at marketing and engage with them. Go and interview them. Go and ask them some questions and see how they can help you. Because here's number 51. 51 is you must get seen doing the things you want to do more of, right? Get seen doing the things you want to do more of. And part of that success leaves clues, right? What are the people that you see doing that you want to model doing more of? Okay. Because I really believe that's one of the keys to growing a business too, right? I was talking to a gentleman the other day. Look, he has an EV business. So I said to him, hey, get captured putting in more EV installations, get captured talking to more people about their electric vehicles, etc. You know, that is what you want to get known by, so get caught in that world doing it. Right, I think this is number 52 now. Zig Ziglar. You can have whatever you want in your life if you just help other people get what they want first. Delayed gratification. This has probably been one of the biggest things I've learned in my life when it comes to sales and marketing, but also, and I'm not going to talk about finance in this one, but you can have whatever you want if you just help other people get what they want first. It's a real mindset. And when you think about it, you can have whatever you want if you just help other people get what it first want first. And for me, I struggled with this for a long time. And then one day, I did some things to work on myself the clarity came to me. You just got to help other people get what they want first and be prepared to wait, because if you help them, you'll get what you want, right? Such a cool one. Right. 52. I'm going to finish with one of my favorite people in the world, Mr. Jim Rohn. He was the mentor behind Tony Robbins, if you know who Tony Robbins was, but look up Jim Rohn online. He said, Scott, formal education will make you a living, but self-education will make you a fortune, you know? So formal education, going to school, going to university will make you a living, but self-educating yourself will make you a fortune. And I'm living proof of that. If you could see my bookshelf behind me, I probably invested, I don't know, maybe $500,000 in my education over the years. And it's paid dividend tenfold, right? You know, so if you want to actually grow your business, go and put yourself in a situation where you have to self-learn some things. I'm surprised the amount of people we interview for jobs, etc., that aren't really self-educating themselves. And I really love meeting someone when I do, because I know they're on that pathway. They're curious and they want to grow themselves so they can be in the marketplace. And the other thing that Jim said, that which I really take to heart, is don't wish it were easier. Wish you were better. You know, don't wish you had less problems. Just wish for more solutions, right? So, you know, that for me was a big one to get my head around too. You know, oh man, sometimes you just wish it was easier, right? And he was like, no. Now, don't wish it were easier. Wish you were better. What do you need to do to get better? And that made me really challenge my mindset and challenge who I am and challenge what I can do and go out into the marketplace, find successful people that are doing stuff, pay them money, get mentorship by them, because I knew, you know, I don't want it to be easy. I just want me to be better, you know, and I'm 50 now, and I'm pushing myself to be better. I'm pushing myself to sharpen the sword, to grow myself, grow my business, grow the people around me, you know, because I don't want it to be easy. I want our team to be better. And the reason for that is we're getting better results for our clients. Look, I really know who our clients are here at Digital Influence. You know, our clients are small to medium-sized enterprises. They're multi-location businesses. They're businesses that have mums and dads working at them. You know, we don't necessarily work with the big corporates because we don't connect with them as much. We connect with the business owners. We know who we help and how we want to help them because we know how to move the needle for those businesses. So, hey guys, I really appreciate you listening to this podcast, the 50 by 50. I think I've gone over a few. I've probably got a bunch more. I'd love to get into motivation and finance one day as far as talking about that. Some really cool things we've done in our business from a motivational perspective, core values, but also how to run a business financially. I've learned a lot over the years on that and still growing that. So maybe that's another podcast one day. But hey, I really appreciate your podcast. As watching the podcast, listening to the podcast. As always, I only need you to do one thing, and that's to share the podcast with someone else. Please share this podcast with someone. Say, hey, take a listen to this guy. He's 50, he's an old guy now, but he's got some lessons here that might help you. Because here's the thing, we've recently back at number one, right? In the marketing charts for podcasts for New Zealand. And I love doing that. I love getting the feedback, but I love seeing, you know, the downloads just increasing. So that is because of you. So please share the Marketing for Business podcast. That's your only job today. By the way, if you have any questions, you want to know anything, once again, reach out to me, 021-891-934. Thanks for listening to the Marketing for Business podcast. Go out there, have some fun, and as always, take action. Hi, Scott Wilson here again. Hey, thanks for listening to the Marketing for Business podcast. We really appreciate you taking the time to listen, and we hope that you learned a lot from today's episode. If you could be so kind as to rate and share the podcast with your other business friends and colleagues, that'd be awesome. And if you'd like to listen to more episodes, why don't you head over to our website, www.getdigitalinfluence.com, where we've got a whole bunch of other amazing interviews with business owners. Thanks for your time, and have a great day.